We travel next to another place that's been marked by tension for years, the Korean Peninsula. In South Korea, the president came to power talking tough about dealing with North Korea. Now, though, his government is taking a different approach, suggesting that the two countries hold military talks. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Seoul.
The sinking of the South Korean warship, the Cheonan, in March was called Korea's 9/11. As family members grieved, the nation shared their shock at the deaths of 46 sailors. A North Korean torpedo was blamed for the attack, although Pyongyang has denied it. South Korea froze an inter-Korean maritime agreement. It cut off economic aid, and it demanded an apology before six-party talks on North Korea's nuclear disarmament could be restarted. 6 months on, there's no apology, yet ties are slowly and surely being rebuilt. Daniel Pinkston from the International Crisis Group.
The North Korean Red Cross offered to hold meetings or reunions for separated family members. So this is a humanitarian issue in the South. It's almost impossible to reject this kind of offer. So this could be the beginning of a thaw in the relations.
Unification Minister Hyun In-taek has said that the government is positive about offering food aid.
South Korea has just announced it's sending $8.5 million of economic aid to the flood-stricken North. And a second tranche of aid by local groups has been approved. So what's happened to the tough talk? Pragmatism appears to be trumping principle. As one newspaper columnist writes, the people of the country that was attacked are demanding that the incident be forgotten. As Pinkston explains, ethno-nationalism, the shared Korean identity, is a big factor driving ties between North and South.
They are connected like conjoined twins. They can't go away. So these are their brothers. They have to deal with them.
Others believe that South Korea's president is also motivated by the hand of history on his shoulder. Paek Hak-soon from the Sejong Institute says Lee Myung-bak fears going down in history for the wrong reasons.
The policy of South Korea toward North Korea for the past 2.5 years was just doing nothing, non-action policy. It was totally unbelievable. If he continues the policy he has pursued until now, and then he'll be recorded in history as the president who just failed in his policy toward North Korea.
On a busy street corner, the radio blares outside a small cobbler's shop. Here, there's widespread unhappiness with the government's handling of the Cheonan incident. The ruling party was punished by a poor showing in local elections in June. Some were angered by its previous hawkish stance. Others by the recent backdown. After North Korea crossed the red line by so much, we shouldn't give them rice aid, says Shin Hyun Chul. We should be asking them for proper compensation, but this government isn't doing that. Kim In-hae, who's waiting for her shoes to be resold, favors the government keeping a certain distance from North Korea. I think that's good, she says. Before, with the sunshine policy of engagement, it used to be so one-sided.
There has been a very serious problem in South Korea's policy to North Korea, which was the incongruence between South Korea's
official policy. But analyst Paek Hak-soon believes policy towards the North has been pulled in two conflicting directions. The official line has been working together with the North. He believes that's been undercut by a hidden agenda, which is simply waiting for North Korea to collapse. Yet the current rapprochement does hold dangers too. North Korea is believed to be preparing for a politically risky transition of power. It may wish to divert attention away from domestic failures and provide a rallying point for badly dented morale. Given the lack of long-lasting punitive measures from the South, there are fears Pyongyang could be tempted to stage more military provocations in future. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Seoul.